This morning's gospel is continuing Matthew's story. So last week we heard about Jesus walking on the water to reach the disciples in their boat and calming the seas. After all the miracles they had previously witnessed, it is not until now that they finally worship him and say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." With this week's reading, they have reached the other shore, the Lake Galilee. And as Kathy read in verse 10, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them." And then we heard that the disciples came and said, "You know, you just offended the Pharisees." And Jesus says, "Every plant that my Father, Heavenly Father, has not planted will be pulled up by the root." What I got from that was that the Pharisees were sowing seeds of discord and distrust of Jesus. With people, remember when the Pharisees chastised Jesus for healing on the Sabbath? Think about that. Suppose a doctor, a nurse, a fireman, or a policeman didn't do their job because it was the Sabbath. I don't think that's what God intended. Then in verse 14, Jesus says, "Leave them. They are blind guides." How many times have we heard our parents say, "If everybody is jumping off the bridge, are you going to do it?" I know. I've probably said it a couple dozen times to my kids. The Pharisees and the scribes were so busy making the Jews follow their laws and traditions, they were blind to what Jesus was teaching. Love, goodness, faithfulness, and serving others with compassion, no matter who they were. This teaching brings to mind the Good Samaritan parable, which random acts of kindness. Some will remember when Pete Hallowell got the church involved in Habitat for Humanity. We went to work on a house in Central Islip. We worked all day inside and out. We even had to slow Louise Flood, God rest her soul, down. She was getting overheated. Well, I went home tired and achy, and I'm sure everyone else did, but I felt good for what we had all done. We helped a family with two children, one handicapped, get into their own home, even though they were strangers, just as the Samaritan had done in Jesus' parable. A few weeks ago, we had an inspection of the food pantry, one of the agencies that give us food, and she asked, "How do we know these people need this food?" Here we go, Pharisees again. We explained, we felt if they're willing to come down, stand online, they need the food. Also, we have been told that we have to maintain their dignity, and we can't ask them how much they earn. When Peter, the disciple, asked Jesus to explain, Jesus says, "Don't you see whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out? But these things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. So for us to tame the tongue, it is important, but not easy." Why? Because it's so easy that once we have a thought formed in our head, we just release the thought with our tongue. Once they are released, we cannot take it back. Sometimes they could be hurtful or even untrue. How many times have we wished we could take something back that we said in haste? As Christians, Jesus wants us to surrender our hearts over to Him so that we can be a reflection of His character and not the world. It all starts with what's inside. When Jesus lives in us, we will shine His light to the world. We must think, even pray, before we act or speak, or the world will get the wrong impression of what is really in our hearts. We should love thy neighbor as thyself, be considerate, be kind and encouraging, and instead of be encouraging instead of critical, be forgiving, as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes action speaks louder than words. On Friday, as I was preparing this talk, I received an email from Dave Hallowell. I would like to read it to you. It's called What You Scatter. I was at the corner grocery store buying some early potatoes. I noticed a small boy, delicate of bone and feature, ragged but clean, hungrily appraising a basket of freshly picked peas. I paid for my potatoes, but also was drawn to display of green peas. I'm a pushover for green peas and new potatoes. Pondering the peas, I couldn't help but overhear the conversation between Mr. Miller, the store owner, and the ragged boy next to me. Hello, Barry. How are you today? Hello, Mr. Miller. Fine, thank you. Just admiring those peas. They sure look good. They are good, Barry. How's your mom? Fine, getting stronger all the time. Good. Anything I can help you with? No, sir. Just admiring those peas. Would you like to take some home? Asked Mr. Miller. No, sir. Got nothing to pay for them with. Well, what have you got to trade me for some of those peas? All I got is my prize marble. Is that right? Let me see it, said Mr. Miller. Here it is. She's a dandy. I can see that. Only thing is, this one is blue and I sort of go for red. Do you have a red one like that at home? The store owner asked. Not exactly, but almost. Tell you what, take this sack of peas home with you, and the next trip, when you come back, let me see the red marble. Mr. Miller told the boy, and sure will, said the boy, and thanks, Mr. Miller. Mrs. Miller, who had been standing nearby, came over to help me. With a smile, she said, there are two other boys like him in our community, all three very poor circumstances. Jim loves to bargain with them for peas, apples, tomatoes, or whatever. When they come back with their red marbles, which they always will do, he decides he doesn't like red after all, and he sends them home with a bag of produce for a green marble or an orange one. When they come on their next trip to the store, I left the store smiling to myself, impressed with this man. A short time later, I moved to Colorado, but I never forgot the story of this man, the boys and their bartering of marbles. Several years went by, each more rapid than the previous. Just recently, I had an occasion to visit some old friends in the Idaho community, and while I was there, I learned that Mr. Miller had died. They were having his visitation that evening, and knowing my friends wanted to go, I agreed to accompany them. Upon arrival at the mortuary, we fell into line to meet the relatives of the deceased and to offer whatever words of comfort we could. Ahead of us in line were three young men, one in an army uniform and the other two wore nice haircuts, dark suits and white shirts, all very professional looking. They approach Mrs. Miller, standing composed and smiling by her husband's casket. Each of the young men hugged her, kissed her on the cheek, spoke briefly with her, and then moved to the casket. Her misty blue eyes followed them as one by one, each man stopped briefly, placed his own warm hand over the cold, pale hand in the casket. Each left the mortuary, awkwardly wiping his eyes. Our turn came to meet Mrs. Miller, and I told her who I was and reminded her of the story from those many years ago, and she told me about her husband's bartering with the marbles. With her eyes glistening, she took my hand and led me to the casket. Those three young men who just left were the boys I told you about. They just told me how they appreciated the things Jim traded them. Now, at last, when Jim could not change his mind about the color, they came to pay their debt. We've never had a great deal of wealth in this world, she confided, but right now, Jim would consider himself the richest man in Idaho. With loving gentleness, she lifted the lifeless fingers of her deceased husband, resting underneath with three exquisitely shined red marbles. The moral, we will not be remembered for our words, by our kind deeds, but by our kind deeds. Life is not measuring by the breaths we take, but by the moments we take our breath. I want to thank Dave for that. It helped me. As a church community, we are following Jesus. We contribute our time, talents, and money to various organizations within the church. We feed the hungry with our monthly Wesley dinners. We bring food from our homes for the needy. We provide space for Narcotics and Alcoholic Anonymous to have their meetings, and also for other churches to have a place to worship when their membership is too small to have their own church. We have been providing ESL classes to help our Hispanic neighbors learn English. I am sure we could do more. Maybe as a church family, we have Wednesday, we have this coming Wednesday, we have a brainstorming session, and maybe after we've prayed about it, we'll come up with some ideas to help us further doing what Jesus wants us. And if you'll bear with me, I'll find the next page. And we'll go on. Here I was so organized. Somehow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to wing it. We need to follow what Jesus wants us, and we need to pray about that. Like, I had to pray and pray and pray to prepare this talk and then receive something from Dave that helped me tell you what Jesus wants from us. And we are all good Christians. We all do something, and He's asking us to do more, and I pray that we all will pray about it, ask Him for help, And this Wednesday, perhaps we'll come up with some great ideas to continue his work. In Jesus' name, amen.